All-Star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The number one draft pick in the WNBA draft is getting paid about what an entry-level accountant would make graduating from college. Caitlin Clark, her base salary as a rookie in the WNBA will be $76,535. Do you want to guess what the first-round draft pick in the NBA will make in base salary? Caitlin Clark, $76,000. Number one draft pick for the NBA. I mean, you know it's at least $2 million, right?
At least.
$10.5 million. $10.5 million is the base salary for the NBA first-round draft pick. Is this unfair? So on first blush, you have to, like, your take has to be the same take that everybody, that all the sort of, you know, know-it-alls who are posting their, like, girl power post today, which is, this is outrageous. This is, we have a long way to go.
Yeah, until the league becomes profitable.
Is it fair or is it unfair? 651-461-9226. The logical side of me can swallow the financial arguments, right? Like, well, the NBA makes $10 billion a year. The WNBA
doesn't.
Makes about $200 million. So the WNBA, at least up to this point, most teams are not turning a profit, or at least not a significant profit.
Yeah, the league as a whole is subsidized by the NBA.
So there are some logical factors here, right?
Right.
My question is, when you hear this, does the logic weigh out or does the emotion weigh out? Because the emotion on this is, it's pretty outrageous. It's pretty outrageous. $76,000. You know that Caitlin Clark is going to, I mean, think of the amount of money that the WNBA is going to make this coming year in ad revenue.
Yep.
Based on the fact that, you know, there are, and it's not just Caitlin, it's there are a number of superstars that people will be checking out. We've had this before, but we also, I don't think the media is interested, right? So you look at, right, like the Maya Moore era, and that was, I mean, there were tremendous athletes, tremendous stars. There was star power, but there was not TV viewing. And why is that? Well, I think some of that is because TV was sexist about it, that there was sort of preconceived notion that, like, well, no one's going to care to watch this. It's too much defense, not enough scoring. It's women. No one cares. Now, I think you can make an argument that we watch a lot of crap that we don't care about, but TV shoves it in our face, and then we start watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And so TV made a choice to downplay it. I think what we're going to see is TV making a choice to highlight it. Will that lead to more revenue, more audience? Probably. Probably.
It should. I mean, we were just during the break talking about last night was the WNBA draft, obviously. Which previously, last year, the article I read said that the draft drew about 500,000 viewers. That the record was the year Diana Taurasi got drafted, which was like 20 years ago. That was 600,000 was the record viewership for the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
Last night, 2.5 million people tuned in. So the numbers are moving, right? And pretty dramatically. And that's whatever this cultural moment is surrounding specifically Caitlin, but there are other stars as well. But let's just be honest, it's Caitlin that's driving this at this point.
Yes.
So what you're going to see is, you know, any game involving the Indiana Fever is going to have increased viewership. When they're on the road, they're going to sell. And obviously, their games are going to sell out. But when they're on the road, they're going to sell out games. I think she's coming here. The Fever coming here, I think it was August, to play the Lynx.
Yeah.
That game will be packed to the rafters. So you're going to see movement in terms of revenue and in terms of interest. You know, we've seen it already in terms of the college game. That should translate to the pro game. And at that point, do you revisit salaries based on overall revenue? Yeah, then you absolutely do that. But you don't do it before you actually get that money in.
This is sort of the same dispute that you have about, you know, World Cup, sort of women's soccer versus men's soccer. And you've seen this. You've seen salaries in tennis, for example. And by salary, I mean, I guess it's more like the prize purse for winning Wimbledon. And a lot of those things have evened out. Now, I'm not feeling bad about, and one texter says, don't feel badly for Caitlin Clark. I don't feel badly for Caitlin Clark. She's going to make millions and millions of dollars in endorsements. She's going to be fine. It still seems wrong. Doesn't it seem wrong? I think it seems wrong. I know I'm not being logical about it. Dan is being, you are very clinical about
it. Well, because it's just.
And you're right. I think objectively you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I want women to make as much money as they can possibly make doing this. But the league also has to be somewhat financially viable. And there's only, you know, when MLS started, it very much was structured with low player salaries because they had to in order to get the thing off the ground. As it's grown, salaries have grown with it. Every sports league that's ever been has gone through something like this.
It's just been a long time. The WNBA has been around. Now, there are one thing that I often say when people complain that the WNBA doesn't get the same coverage that the NBA does is that the WNBA season is only, 40 games? And there are only 10 teams. And so it's not the same. One texter says the comparison is unfair to compare the WNBA to the NBA. They said you have to look at the revenue stream. It's maybe, you know, it's similar to like comparing women's hockey to NHL money, where you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think twice about paying a PWHL player the same that you pay an NHL player.
Well, no one would make that argument that you should pay them the same.
Right.
But people do and are making that argument today about women's basketball.
Because they're making an emotional argument, not a logical one.
Lots of text coming in at 651-461-9226. WNBA does not draw, doesn't even come close to what the NBA draws in attendance. It's just business. If the women's league drew that much in attendance, it would definitely be equal. Maybe true.
Yeah, I mean, they do draw. It's not like nobody shows up to these games, but it's nowhere near.
Well, and the cost of, you know, running a league is not nothing.
Right. You know? I mean, you know, the overhead is fairly similar. There's some crossover, like with the Timberwolves being owned by the same, you know, or the Lynx being owned by the same group as the Timberwolves. There's some crossover there, but still, you know, the overhead is the overhead, and, you know, the ticket gate is the ticket gate. Now, again, will that be going up very soon, very quickly? I would assume so. And then these conversations can be revisited.
It's still astonishing.
But it's still an economic equation.
So I think it is defensible, and it also is astonishing. In 2023, the average WNBA player made $113,000. The average NBA player made $9.7 million. It's astonishing. $113,000... to play. Now you can say, like, well, the WNBA is 40 games. The NBA is 82 games.
When you compare the revenue.
I get it.
I mean, it's not astonishing at all.
It's still astonishing. It's and it isn't the right. I suppose you could look at women's sports in general and say a WNBA player is probably the highest compensated, you know, team athlete in women's sports. Ultimately, all of the people who are outraged by this, the best way to fix it is to go to the games and buy a jersey and watch the games when they're on TV. But I'm sorry, it's still astonishing. It is that Caitlin Clark is making $76,000. That's astonishing. 4:49, back in just a minute. Here, as we get you ready for Twins pregame. Those Twins players aren't making $76,000. I'll tell you that here on CCO.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.